Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome to the Lore Boys, here back for another episode. I'm Ethan, your host, and I'm very fast. With me is...
It's Peter O'Donohue. It's me, I was in Missouri. goodbye, I'm sorry that I missed the episode. I'm sorry there was nothing.
And super special guest...
Oh yeah, the important one.
Go ahead and introduce
Murphy?
Yourself.
It's Murphy. Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, you said super special guest.
You're waiting for me to pull someone out of the closet?
Yeah, I saw you throw someone in there earlier, so I just thought maybe...
maybe it was them. No. I'm saving them for later. Okay. Murphy.
Who are you? Yeah. Why are you here?
I am a fellow podcaster on the Strangerlands and now Ethernautica. On Ethernautica, it's just a guest role, but Strangerlands, I'm a host. And we're an actual play D&D podcast.
Both of those?
Yep, and then I'm here to talk with you guys about a certain special someone in both of two of our lives.
Yeah.
The other one's a heretic and we should kill him.
Exactly. I have a real question I've been saving all day. What does actual play mean? I have no idea.
So it's not like a dramatization where we're fudging it and making it sound like it's D&D. It's actual play where there's like you roll a dice and there are legitimate consequences and you can kill your character there on the spot. It's not necessarily about narrative direction, but good podcasts that are actual play have a pretty good narrative on their own.
So you're saying there's false coward podcasts out on the internet?
Yeah, there.
No. There's two different types.
You heard it here. Heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Murphy
Giller, very against any not actual play podcast.
Oh God, I am in trouble. Yeah, you can feel free to nerd rage at me on the Twitters. Yeah. You're good.
I listened to Lore Boys. I never knew it could get this bad.
Yeah. There's also, you can do a D&D podcast, which is, like Wizards does an official D&D podcast where they talk about rule changes and updates coming.
Yeah,
talk about it.
This is, just people getting together and playing.
Yeah, so when you, search on podcasts and you're looking for someone that's actually playing podcasts, you put in actual play as the tag, and that'll pop up the ones you get.
The ones you want. That'll get your Drunks and Dragons, that'll get your Critical Roles, that'll get your...
Strangerlands,
Ethernautica, your Ethernauticas, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good
question, though.
Who do you play on Strangerlands?
Daryl.
Daryl?
He's a cross-dressing gay vampire that basically...
Standard vampire.
For himself. Yeah. he's actually the lord of all vampires. Thank you very much. I've found that recently more and more of his character aesthetics have been leaking into my life. It's starting to become a problem. So,
you can write about that though. That's like one of those like Alan Wake sort of things where the author starts to live their novel.
Yeah, exactly.
Play Alan Wake, everybody.
I never have.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a good game.
Ethernautica, is that an upcoming episode that you're on? Can you talk about it? Are you NDA'd?
So, no, I'm not NDA'd.
How
Ethernautica. I'm just a guest on the show. But Ethernautica is basically a Space 1889 and Call of Cthulhu game mixed together.
Okay. Space 89?
1889.
Yeah, it's a unique steampunk, futuristic, humans have gone out into space and done crazy things and met aliens and time gets wibbly wobbly and it's awesome. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And you play...
I can't say that. That's a big
okay.
spoiler.
That is
that
a
one
big
I am
okay,
NDA.
Okay. That's what I was asking. Mr. I'm not NDA'd all NDA'd all of a sudden. Ooh. Oh boy.
Slap shut the clamshell, eh?
I mean, it's hard to lie here in fucking Egypt. It's very hot in Egypt.
Yeah,
is that
it is.
Where we are now?
Yeah, it's mad hot. I mean, look at those pyramids. Where did you think we were, Peter?
Possibly a museum.
You think they got pyramids anywhere?
I slept on the bus. Well, I'm sorry.
The British Museum, they could have pyramids.
Yeah. You know, they stole everything anyway. So. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it's just like a triangle with a base, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's some sloped rock.
Pyramids. Yeah, what's the big idea?
A little bit of effort put in.
Okay, believe it or not, we're a lore podcast that talks about lore things. Today we're talking about the Horus Heresy, hence Peter being referred to as a heretic, which is from the Warhammer 40k universe.
This would be our second Warhammer 40k universe. We already covered some of the Necron bullshit.
Oh yes,
we covered the Necron. We're talking about the Horus Heresy, which is a series of books. I think there's 11 books right now.
Oh no, there's 51.
Okay, well, I was way off. Yeah. I was way off.
Good
was
shot.
Like,
yeah. Good try.
Good shot.
There you go.
Okay.
We did it.
They're referred to as the Black Library.
Yeah. Oh, wait. All the books in the Black Library are Horus Heresy?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
They refer to the heresy. They're part of the heresy. They're what the heresy caused, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned on our last episode, Warhammer 40K takes place in the 40th millennium. Makes a lot of sense, right? The Horus Heresy takes place in the 30th millennium, or the 31st millennium.
From what I understand, it's some kind of inciting incident.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, for at least the like human side of things, I mean, who cares about the Xenos scum anyway?
That's it. We're not talking about the Xenos at all today.
Yeah, no.
I was a Tyranid player in high school. I'll get to them someday.
Disgusting Xenos scum.
There's so much beautiful lore to this universe, and I am barely going to scratch the surface even of the Horus Heresy, which is the titular event of this episode.
I built a dreadnought about a month ago.
You built a dreadnought?
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Those aren't easy to do.
It's on our Instagram. You can check it out.
We are going to talk about the Chaos Space Marines and the regular Space Marines.
Normie Space Marines.
The Normie Space Marines. I will be doing a follow-up episode to this episode at some point that more directly links to namely the Age of Strife, which is the 5,000 years preceding the events that we're going to talk about today, and the Ruinous Powers themselves, also known as the Gods of Chaos.
Primordial Annihilator.
Exactly. So let's start with what's called the Great Crusade. A period in the history of the Warhammer universe where the Imperium of Man, made up of the factions like the Space Marines, the Astra Militarium, and the Witch Hunters, the Astra Militarium, also known as the Imperial Guard, I think, at least in 4th edition they were, they set out, so the Imperium of Man sets out to reclaim parts of the universe claimed by the factions of the Chaos Gods and the Xenos during the 5,000 year period that is known as the Age of Strife. I'm not going to get into the Age of Strife today. All you need to know is mankind started on Earth, expanded a whole bunch, then lost a whole bunch of those planets.
Just relatable.
Yeah, right? That's
I'm familiar with starting on Earth. I can get it. I can get it.
I have been there. I have been there before.
Hashtag same fam.
Was it like one of those drive-thru spots where you're like, been there before?
Yeah.
It's okay, not gonna go back.
It's exactly. Yeah.
Like Kingston.
I've moved on from Burger King. I'm not going back.
I think you meant drive-thru spot like a shitty town.
Okay. I meant a literal drive-thru.
I mean Burger King, sure. There goes another sponsor.
I think we have one Burger King here that I've been to precisely once.
No, we have more than one Burger King in Montreal.
It's downtown. Where the fuck is it?
There's one at Namur.
Where?
Namur. Anyway. We're in Egypt, believe it or not.
Egypt.
They do have Burger Kings. I know they have KFCs in Egypt because I know there's a KFC in Egypt that you can see the pyramids from.
Yep.
That's good real estate.
Right?
Yeah, a colonel working overtime for that shit.
So.
Why do you think they call him Colonel?
So it's the 31st millennium, and the Emperor of Mankind, who is the Immortal Perpetual, with a capital P, serving as the ruling monarch, is known by the Ecclesiarchy. Which is the church in Warhammer 40K, who reveres him as the God Emperor.
The Ecclesiarchy.
One of the big problems that led to the Horus Heresy in the first place.
So they know him as the Father, while the Chaos Gods and Demon of the Warp refer to him as the Anathema, for he is the greatest embodiment of universal order in the galaxy. So we got the god who will become the god emperor posthumously, mm-hmm. known as the emperor right now, who rules over all of mankind. He has sat immobile, his body slowly crumbling within the golden throne of Terra for over 10,000 standard years. Although once a living man, his shattered, decaying body can no longer support life, and it is kept intact only by the cybernetic mechanisms of the Golden Throne and a potent mind itself sustained by the daily sacrifice of thousands of lives.
But it wasn't there, and it wasn't that way until after Horus committed the heresy.
Yeah, exactly. After he does his little thing that we'll get into.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I kind of already knew this because I did a little bunch of Warhammer kind of like skimming while I was building the dreadnought that a buddy of mine gave me. Where like he doesn't want to be worshipped, correct? Like the God Emperor title came from people.
Yeah.
So he's all about the imperial truth, and one of the reasons that the Age of Strife and like all that happened in the first place was because religion started popping up. Oh God, organized religion. No, it's not.
We're gonna talk a lot about it today.
No ancient robots.
No ancient robots.
Good. I can sip humbly from freely, my beer.
But yeah. So basically, the Imperium of Man is made up from this now God Emperor, but God Emperor didn't want that. He thought truth was the only way to stop the warp and the chaos gods from taking the universe, because he basically ascended and perfected genetic engineering to the point where he could perfect his psychic abilities and go into the warp. And the cool part about the warp is that if you're powerful enough in the psyker or psychic fields, you can withstand the gods of chaos, but for the lesser beings, they can't. So the only way to protect them is to provide absolute facts and absolute truth.
Yeah. So if you have something like we talked about this a bit on the last episode, where the Eldar, who are one of the Xenos, who are and Xenos, I guess we should explain this earlier, but Xenos are just like any of the truly alien races, where chaos is mostly man corrupted by the forces of the warp, which is from Event Horizon, the Hellraiser.
There's a place in between.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. The void in Warframe.
Yeah.
I have all of those notes. I got them for you.
Yeah, bring them in. Yeah. Bring them in if you when they come up.
Come through.
We had mentioned doing the Warhammer cross. Warhammer X Event Horizon crossover fighting game.
Well, it
at
actually
some point.
Helps when it helps lead in to what Ethan's going to go on about the Crusade. So the way that they traveled was through the warp, and in the 21st century, Event Horizon, the ship travels to the warp using the gravity drive. But they didn't know about the Chaos Gods or any of that, so they didn't have a Galar field or a psyker on board to protect them and guide them
from those chaos gods. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where it all leads back into the Emperor and leads into why he started the Crusade in the first place.
I'm not going to touch on the Age of Strife and like everything that led into the Great Crusade. I'm talking about the Great Crusade.
No, I know.
In the context of
we brought on
the Horus Heresy
for a reason.
We did bring on an expert for a reason.
I was just saying. You're good.
So the Great Crusade marks a brief era in human history of rebuilding, reunification, and rapid technological advancement following the complete regression of mankind into techno-barbarism during the 5,000 years Age of Strife. So it got real Mad Max for a while.
Nice.
Where for 5,000 years between the year 25,000 and 30,000, people were just like ruled by like barbarians, or it was like a really barbarian culture, like biggest, strongest beef boy win great army. And at the end of this guy, the emperor, who would go on to be known as the God Emperor, basically had his Imperium of Man, and he had his Space Marines, which were genetically modified people, either by genetically modified and technologically modified.
Yeah, can they take off their suits?
They're called Adeptus Astartes.
Yeah, exactly.
They're these huge, they have these things called, inside of them called gene seed, and that's how they recruit people. And I'm sure Ethan's about to talk about it, but basically the emperor created his 20 legions and his 20 primarchs, which were his lieutenants. And these guys are bigger than even Astartes. They're like, Astartes are 10 to 12 feet tall. These guys are like 15 to 20 feet tall. And then the emperor, if you can imagine it, is almost 25 to 30 feet tall, depending upon who talks about him.
It's a big boy.
It's a big old tall boy.
It's a big boy.
So pretty much all we're going to talk about is the Primarchs.
I have the list.
I mean, well, I'm going to talk about two Primarchs in particular. I would love it if, when I throw it to you, you give that list, though, because I thought about writing it down, and I was like, it's fine. Murphy will have it.
Oh, I see. I'm the Bitch Boys podcast here.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the
Bitch Boys podcast.
Welcome to the
here.
Bitch Boys podcast.
We're live. Take advantage of somebody.
Oh my god, we should totally propose that as a business to Logan Paul and Jake Paul. Here, Bitch Boys podcast.
I'll put you on. I got unlimited hosting thanks to Pippa.
Thanks to Pippa.
Sorry, I just totally offended all of your low gang.
We got lots of
super mad at me. Yeah, you got Canada.
We got a surprising amount of crossover. The Lore Boys podcast and Logan Paul. Yeah, yeah.
We like to dab on the haters. We like to play D&D.
Yeah,
we love BattleTech for some reason.
I like pissing off my neighbors. God. I mean,
hate you, by the way. Because I started playing that stupid fucking game. I am being drawn more and more into this deep depths of hell because of you.
Moi?
I blame you. Yes.
Me specifically, because I did the BattleTech episodes?
It's got to be Peter.
All like 70 of them, yeah.
I did 4, fuck you.
Yeah.
There's one more coming. I got to do the Dark Age at some point, but...
Oh, thank God, because I didn't really want to delve into it myself.
Yeah. Don't worry, I got you. I got you, fam.
So, if we're talking about the Great Crusade, it's considered the golden age of the Imperium.
Is that where we killed the most people?
Before the long, slow slide into cultural stagnation, political repression, and increasing warfare that marked the 10 millennia after the Great Crusade.
Dang.
And that's basically the world that Warhammer 40K, the actual tabletop RPG, lives in.
Yep.
Is this like horrible, horrible stagnated, where they talk about the God Emperor and it gets really, really religious and political and really shitty. This was actually the golden age of mankind when the Emperor was a, like you said earlier, Peter, a good dude. TM, you know?
Yeah, good dude.
He did bad things.
good dude, TM.
That's just his fucking gamer tag that floats above him as he's like killing Xeno scum. Good dude, TM.
Good dude, TM.
And he just goes around going, GG, bro, GG.
Yeah, GG, bro. GG, easy.
Easy, easy.
EZ, because we're Canadian.
God, it's hot here in Cairo.
Yeah, it's very hot.
It is so very warm.
It's about 110 degrees with humidity, which is weird for Cairo, but...
Yeah, sucks. But it's going to drop steeply, and then all the leaves will instantly die.
All those Cairo leaves.
All those Cairo leaves.
So...
I fucking hate you. You have the same joke as me.
Roasted. We got him in.
We got
him.
Yeah.
The internet delay.
Yeah, exactly.
We are more clever by default.
I have a custom delay on my Discord just so I can beat Murphy to all the good jokes.
Roasted. Yeah. Real high five.
Real high five. And he still claps for it. Gotta make sure it picks up. So, what was the Horus Heresy? In a nutshell, it was a civil war in the Imperium of Man, which marked the end of the Great Crusade. It was begun when one man, the Imperial War Master Horus Lupercal, the Primarch of the Sons of Horus Legion, excuse me,
jeez,
and the most beloved genetic son of the Emperor.
Son's a weird thing to say.
I really just want to hear that again, Horus Lupercal again.
The Imperial War Master Horus Lupercal, the Primarch of the Sons of Horus Legion, and the most beloved genetic son of the Emperor. So, genetic.
I got a golf clap out.
So, genetic son is an interesting term. He is a clone, technically, of the Emperor himself. So he's one of those Primarchs who stands, 15 to 20 feet tall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are they clones, or are they like people implanted with the genetic seed?
So you know when you saw that stupid, what's the name of the Disney movie about the feelings?
Emperor's New Groove.
No, it's Inside Out.
Yeah. So basically, they're all the pieces of him. They're each genetically made specifically to serve a certain task and be a certain group. And they're each representative of different cultures.
And they all have one unique Rhyme. Flaw. Mm-hmm. So Horace's flaw, we'll find out, is ambition. You know, where some of them might be greed, some of them might be zealotry. So like I said, we're going to talk about two. I don't know if I mentioned this. We're going to talk about Horace and we're going to talk about Lorgar.
No, you did not mention that.
So Lorgar is the zealot, the zeal of the emperor. And Horace is the ambition of, or like, just like blind ambition. That's like, they all have their like character flaw, you know?
They're like Greek gods. They all have a flaw.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So they're basically 20 of the Primarchs. And we know of 18. Two were deleted from all imperial record. You have, and they're from the Legionis Astartes, and there was this catastrophic incident, and it's during the Horus Heresy, and it's caused by one of the Primarchs that caused them, when they were being born, to be split from mankind. And the Emperor, he's this guy who was like, okay, I'm still going to create my 20 legions and go find them in the galaxy. And that's part of the Crusades' beginnings, was he was going to go find his sons.
Yeah.
And the first one's Lionel Johnson, and he's the Dark Angels. He's the first Legion. He's from Caliban. The two others are deleted from all Imperial records. Then we have Fulgrim, who's Emperor's Children. Perdurabo, who's Iron Warriors. We have Jigati Khan, which is Legion 5, White Scars. Leman Russ, Legion 6, Space Wolves. Rogel Dorn. Legion 7, Imperial Fist, Conrad Kurz, 8, Night Lords. They're the really creepy guys that drink poison.
What?
Sanguinius. Okay.
Yeah, Another episode. There's too much to talk about here.
Sanguinius, Legion 9, the Blood Angels. Then you have Ferris Manus, which was 10, the Iron Hands. Then you have Legion 11, which was deleted from all Imperial records, and anyone that talks of them is executed. You have Angron, who's 12 world eaters. Then you have Robot Gilliam, Agilliman, fuck, Robuti Gilliam, Agilla. Never mind.
It is a difficult name, and it is spelled not the way it sounds. It's spelled very stupidly, I'd say.
Mortarion, who's the Death Guard, Mangus the Red, who's the Thousand Sons, Horus Lupercal, who we're talking about today, Legion 16, Luna Wolves. And then his most beloved brother, Lorgar, Aurelian, of the Word Bearers. Then we have Vulcan of the Salamanders, Corvus Corax of the Raven Guard, and Alpharius and Omegon. Now, Alpharius and Omegon are of Alpha Legion. They're the fucking CIA of the Legions. And they're twins. So they're smaller than the rest of the Primarchs, and they look identical. And so you never know which one is the actual Primarch.
Okay.
You get a golf stop right back for that, Murphy.
Good God, that was... Yeah, all right. So a buddy of mine, a friend of mine who gave me the Dreadnought to build and paint, is big into the Black Templars. What's their deal?
Ooh, that comes after.
Yeah.
Cut it out of the show.
Some of the factions that he just listed are... actual factions in the game.
The Blood Angels.
So, in the game, they're still around. Yeah. The others were kind of massacred.
So yeah, so the way...
people gotta die, dude. Like, that's life.
The way that...
Wow! That's fucking... deepest fucking shit from Lore Boys. If people gotta die.
People gotta die, that's life, man.
Listen, bro.
You would fit right in with the Emperor, dude.
Maybe he's not... He's just
Let's do these crusades. Kill them all.
I said he was a good guy, but it's really in the context of the Warhammer 30K universe, where...
Yeah, and the humans.
100,000 people dying is, like, nothing. You know, it's just nothing. You know,
I mean,
it's
an acceptable loss.
Exactly.
In space, yeah, it's not that much.
So the way it works in actual...
It's really a failure when you think about it.
In space, no one can hear you genocide. the way it works in the actual tabletop, or not, I guess it's not role-playing, in the actual tabletop game, is there are approved factions, so... When you buy a Space Marines, you're technically supposed to paint them certain colors And if you want to play at, like, official events, they have to be painted those colors.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I love the Tyranids is because you can just create a new brood and just say, this is my new brood, and you can paint them whatever color you want. It was one of the things that made me buy Tyranids in the first place. Was like, I can paint them whatever color I want, as long as they're all the same color kind of thing.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So some of the accepted colors are all based on this lore. So, like you said, the Blood Angels are an accepted faction in current Warhammer 40K tabletop game.
Alpha Legion's still there, Iron Fists, yeah. Those kind of things.
The yellow ones.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of them, but there's a bunch of them that aren't there anymore that he just listed. So, like Murphy was saying, each of these legions and their leader were genetic clones of the Emperor. Godlike powers included, but just not to the same extent. They were raised in vats under the Himalayas. In some ways, when you think about it. The Ruinous Powers, or Gods of Chaos, kidnapped these 20 souls and spread them throughout the universe on various human-populated colonies. Their reason for doing this was the Chaos Gods thought that having them grow up around actual humans instead of like under the god the Emperor's tutelage, they would be more susceptible to being corrupted. So,
well, they also knew that because they had gone to the future too. So the Chaos, like they exist outside of time and space. So they saw that Mangus the Red was going to go back and open a portal inside of the genetic growing chamber, and so they seized on that opportunity to steal them away.
Yeah.
What an odd sentence.
I know.
I saw Bobby being made. I decided to go back and take Bobby.
Oh, man, fucking
yeah, exactly.
So weird and so cool.
Yeah, so whether or not, like, those flaws that we mentioned, how, like, Horus has ambition and Lorgar has zealotry, whether or not those were, like actually seated by the Emperor or those were actually seated by the Ruinous Powers is tough to say for sure.
Like how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. So in the
Mad scholars.
In the absence.
Surrounding labs. Filled with Tootsie Roll Pops.
Yeah.
Nothing but infinite lasers pointing at them.
And incomplete data.
The God Emperor must know. The fucking, whatever, the Adeptus Mechanicus, and their infinite fields of Tootsie Roll Pops.
Yeah.
On Mars.
They had machines just licking Tootsie
this
Roll
is
Pops
the Crusade
24 hours a day.
What made Mars red was cherry Tootsie Pops.
Yes.
You guys have the star Indians, Native American guys, they would pull the star bow, like a bow back, and there would be a star at the end, and if you went to like a 7-Eleven and you would get another Tootsie Roll Pop.
We don't have 7-Elevens.
We don't have 7-Eleven.
Well, like your local like candy or like
Mac or Kushtar?
Nah.
No, we don't.
We don't have whatever that is.
No.
Not there in Cairo, I know.
not here in Cairo.
Nah.
So, in the absence of his super clones, the Emperor decided that he...
In the absence of his super clones,
yeah,
he decided to do his chores himself.
Yeah.
No, the God Emperor mopped.
No, he decided he would take those DNA samples he still had from each of them and create entire legions of super soldiers called Space Marines or Astartes. These are those legions that the Primarchs will go on to lead. But when they're still Babby, he makes more Babbies, but entire armies of Babbies. And then decides to make them into the super soldiers he always wanted them to be. So
like putty babbies.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
you can make babby into what you need.
Yeah, so he made children via cloning, known as the Primarchs.
Okay.
And then he made grandchildren via the Primarchs DNA that are
babby
the legions
Primarchs.
That serve them.
Okay. So he photocopied his own photocopy.
Exactly.
But only once.
To make the legions.
Okay.
Once the Emperor eventually reunites with each of his wayward sons, he set each of them to lead the legion created with their own genetic material. So,
what's a God Emperor look like?
He's 25 feet tall.
No one really knows. Like, I mean, in 40K,
no one knows at this
he's
point.
He's a skeleton.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he's a skeleton already. All right.
Yeah, he dies at the end.
Oh, right.
I'm the spoiler.
He's always described as like gold and very shiny.
He's built in. Like, he's built into the golden throne, like I said at the top of the episode.
But like in Crusade, in what Ethan's talking about, he's very gold and shiny, and anyone that like is mortal that looks upon him can't really comprehend him.
His beauty.
Okay.
He's just too
beautiful. He, like, exists and doesn't exist.
You know the Squidward beautiful face?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's that. He's that, but gold.
Yeah. He's that good looking. Good God.
Just, like, a very handsome guy with a Squidward nose. So
what I would let you do to me, Amber.
So, letting each of the Primarchs lead their own legion kind of proves to be a mistake, because each of the legions feels a stronger connection to the Primarch than to the Emperor.
Dang.
So it's like, I love Dad more than I love Grandpa.
Obviously.
Obviously. So,
yeah. I mean, my grandfather bought me a car, but...
Yeah. But
my dad like, fed me for...
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, some of the legions feel like you do. Grandpa was really cool. He created us. Yeah. We love him.
And some of the Primarchs feel that way, too.
Yeah, and then the other
damn it, boy, you're gonna listen to your grandfather.
They're the ones that disagreed with the spankings.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Who in their right mind would disagree with a good spanking? Honestly,
I
barbarians.
Mean, this is why you're a fucking loyalist, man. I'm a loyalist too. I agree.
So, Horus Lupercal, sometimes known as the Lupercal, was one of these 20 genetically engineered space marine primarchs created by the Emperor from the foundation of his own DNA. He led the Luna Wolves legions of space marines, like Murphy had just mentioned.
What color is their armor?
The Luna Wolves?
Are they gray?
It's green and blue at first, and then sort of it changes.
Well, they're not really the Luna Wolves when it changes, right?
Yeah,
they're the sons of Horus. Yeah. So during the Great Crusade, there was a heroic victory at the Orc stronghold of Ulanor. Led by Horus's Luna Wolves, the conquest of Ulanor would mark the largest triumph over orcs for the next 10,000 years and in the history of mankind. So for the past 30,000 years, never had such a large army of orcs been fought and been bested.
Okay.
After this, Horus was granted the title of War Master, and while his father would work on a secret project on Terra, which we know was a webway... Or that's like the Eldar transit system through the warp.
Okay.
That any Eldar can use without needing so much protection. So he's working on a way to get your average Joe to work on time via the Hellraiser universe.
Okay. No,
But he doesn't tell anyone this. He refuses to tell anyone this. Horus was charged by the Emperor. So Horus was charged by the Emperor with leading all of mankind in what remained of the Great Crusade. After over 200 years, over 2 million human settlements had been reclaimed across the galaxy from the barbarian overlords, and even like Xenos overlords, or, you know, though many yet remain. So he's like, yo, we've been doing pretty good. And you've been doing pretty good. You just got the biggest victory against the orcs that we've ever had. Let's fuck up the orc homeworld of Ulanor.
Good.
We'll get the Adeptus Mechanus to come and rip everything up.
Okay, yeah.
And build golden cities on the top of their corpses.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And we'll all just fucking party, and that'll be like a monument to our greatest achievement.
You know what, Ethan? I'm a party boy. I'm just everything you just said. I don't remember the first half about like what we're building our city on, but you know what? Otherwise, it's good from here, boys.
But this is the biggest mistake the Emperor makes.
Well, he says we're gonna have a party city, but Peter, your sister,
yes,
who's been fighting alongside you this whole time for the last 200 years,
right? I remember that.
She's gonna lead you. She's gonna be your boss now.
Okay.
She's gonna lead all the armies. And by the way, I've installed these bureaucrats to just handle the Empire. So remember how you were kind of like a leading force in the Empire? You're like a politician, but also a general. And now you're just a general. But maybe a step down from general, because we have a general now.
But
so you're
Daddy Emperor, the worst part about fighting for people is government. Why can't I just fight and have thing after?
No, see, you're thinking a good way, but not the way most of the Primarchs thought. They thought... Well, we should be in charge, too.
He's a fucking loyalist, man.
Yeah, Peter's a loyalist through and through.
Why can't I not have thing?
You have thing. That's all you have.
And then you're like, okay, I understand. Thank you.
So what the emperor does is he declares Ulanor a party planet that anyone can go to, and that's cool.
I just want to go to party planet.
Everyone's down with that.
Yeah.
12 Primarchs.
Is there an orgy continent?
Yeah, there's got to be on Party Planet.
Basically, it's, sweet. It's the greatest victory that the galaxy has ever seen.
Yeah.
That's our version of Australia. Less prisoners, more orgies, whatever, go. There's still snakes. Yeah. I don't know why. Just be careful.
We killed all the orcs, but we couldn't get those damn snakes.
We couldn't get the snakes out of it.
Or the emus.
Or the spiders.
Like,
or the only poisonous platypus.
Yeah, exactly. The poisonous platypus.
Oh, yeah.
The
only poisonous mammal.
Yeah.
You think that's like a failing of mammals or the success of the platypus?
Por qué no los dos?
I claim
the platypus' victory for myself.
Why am I not poisoned?
I'm working on poisonous claws, okay?
Yeah.
they had the greatest victory in the history of humankind, like Murphy had said. And the Emperor shows up and says, hey, I'm going to take some of your power away from you. And then the rest of your power, I'm going to give to that guy who led. He did lead the charge in Ulanor, Horus, and the Luna Legions. But at the same time, it just like it serves to sow dissent. And then he says, and I have a super secret project back on Terra or Earth that I have to go work on. You guys be good. So he fucks off.
Just behave. I'm going to be away.
And like these are people who...
For 5,000 years.
These are people who in a lot of ways revered him. Like Murphy was saying, he liked the Emperor believed in the Imperial Truth, which is like the scientific method, I guess you could say. And
which is why he kind of trusted them too. Like he went and he trusted them saying, oh, you're my genetics. Obviously, you're going to be good enough. I don't have to worry about you anymore. I've taught you everything I know. Good luck.
Good luck. Be good.
Yeah,
But then he kind of pulled back on them because he said, but all like the administrative shit where you actually deal with civilians, I'm going to create a body to handle that independent of you guys. And a lot of the Primarchs didn't like that. But, it was like half and half. So the Primarchs were split. Many of them disapproving of the Emperor stepping back, period, because a lot of them revered him. Lorgar, who had the penchant for zealotry, did literally revere him, and they were upset that Horus should be raised above them. The Emperor also announced that he was creating a civilian administrative bureau to oversee taxation and the like. Just like really nitty gritty shit that Primarchs probably wouldn't have time for anyway, but they still kind of
administratum.
Yeah, they still kind of took it kind of personally.
Yeah, we're gonna take away a lot of your powers. We're gonna give the new council like a fancy ass fake Latin name. Yeah. The administratum now. Yeah. So. Deal with that.
And the worst thing was, it was like literally like nobles that he just like he just assigned people. Like it wasn't like a democratic thing. It was just like, oh, I'm gonna take these rich people and put them in charge of the poor people. And you guys who fought hard for freedom, just keep fighting. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, those aliens.
You can kill them. The war for me.
Yeah, exactly.
GG, bro.
Yeah, GG, easy.
We did it. If you want to stay in the lobby for the next 90 seconds, I guess you can.
Yeah.
If you have to, like some kind of fucking lunatic, but all right.
So Horus,
if you don't want to vote on the next map, I don't really care.
Yeah. So anything but Zanzibar. Horus, along with the other Primarchs, did not like the Emperor stepping back, nor did they think they should be beholden to civilians who had never shed blood in the name of the Emperor. So, like I said earlier, Horus had a flaw. He was ambitious, very ambitious. It also turns out that being the most loved clone of the most powerful person in the history of mankind does nothing for your ambition if that most powerful person has already been alive for 10,000 years and doesn't seem to have any plans of stopping being alive.
Oh, yeah, that's
So it's
true.
Like you're ambitious, you want to be the best, and you're like the best son, you know? So in our world today, your dad dies and you become king.
Yeah.
But it's like he's
That's what I expect when my dad dies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, except neither of them can die.
And he's already been alive for 10,000 years, so.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so it's like, what do you aspire to? You can't become emperor, could you?
That's true, yeah. You're always
not by just letting your dad die.
Genetically predisposed to be second fiddle forever.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Chaos Gods will feed Horus's innate ambition and sense of betrayal by the Emperor until he turns upon his own father and seeks to claim the Imperium of Man for himself.
So one of the Chaos Gods was created by elf orgies, correct?
Yeah, that's Slaanesh.
Slaanesh.
Well, I'll do another episode on the Ruinous Powers.
That's the fuck god.
Also known as the Chaos Gods.
that's where the Warhammer and Warhammer 40K universes kind of like
collide,
cross. Yeah, is where the origins of the chaos came from.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The Slaanesh was an Eldar who is kind of like super evolved elves.
Yeah.
Which Peter, you got me going off on a lot of extra lore here, but
I only know like sections. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to
piece
it together. It's interesting with Horus because the Eldar actually intervene with Horus a lot. They're like, no, tell Horus that this is the bad choice. Don't do it. Listen to your greater instincts. Do the good thing. And then you have Lorgar over here with this fucking guy. He sends a lieutenant. Lorgar sends Erebus, one of his lieutenants, Erebus, to the fucking vengeful spirit, which is Horus's flagship. And Erebus is always going, now, my name is Grey Worm. I want to make you, you know, do what I say. The Emperor is wrong. I'm infected by a chaos god.
Yeah, so...
And the Eldar are like, no,
don't do it. Don't do it, Horus. We had enough orgies to know this was a mistake.
We fucked long enough. And I'm, like, so tired now, man. Would y'all stop fucking?
Yeah.
Let's jump to Lorgar, then. So, it was on a moon of the world Davin, where Horus was turned against the Emperor, finally. Another chaplain, Lorgar, that should read Primarch, but... Another Primarch, Lorgar, had been turned to the Chaos Gods and was instructed by them to manipulate Horus into their service. So, how did Lorgar get turned? Lorgar had been the Emperor's most devout, even zealous son. Lorgar had built a cult around the Emperor and convinced his Astartes that the Emperor was fit to be worshipped as a god for all of mankind. He wrote the book which would eventually spawn the Ecclesiarchy, the Lectio Divinitatis.
Divinitatis.
Divinitatis? I'm missing an AT.
Yeah, Divinitatis, yeah.
Yeah,
we're missing a T on our end. Sorry, we're gonna scrap the whole fucking thing. Start.
Oh no, no.
So Lorgar, the Ecclesiarchy, like I said earlier, what is the Catholic Church in actual Warhammer 40K? Yeah. And he is one of the apostles he's the only apostle that wrote the book. So he wrote the Old Testament, I guess.
Okay.
Just
and then a mortal writes the rest of it.
Yeah.
When basically ascending the emperor to godhood.
Yeah.
This is just the like Old Testament scary god, and then the new one's like, he's all forgiving. We must bow before him.
Yeah, that's it. But he'll forgive our sins if we try.
Old Testament smite god.
He also is very good at catching fish and making wine.
Yes.
I like wine.
So the emperor had officially disapproved of his worship, though it took him a long time before he came out and spoke publicly against it. So,
I'm really cool, but you're not allowed to think I'm cool.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it was like during the Great Crusade, he had sent his 20 primarchs to recapture all these strongholds and cities and worlds that were originally in the fold of the Imperium.
Okay.
And had fallen out of the fold. And Lorgar was effective, but he was very slow. So it mm-hmm. like how a lot of the Primarchs would do it is they would show up and they'd be like, we have fucking chain guns on our guns, or chainsaws, sorry, on our guns, and we're gonna fucking kill all of you if you don't come back into the fold, and we're just gonna kill the biggest, baddest, toughest guy in the prison yard. And then,
very America versus Russia.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna kill the biggest, baddest guy in the prison yard, and then we're not gonna have to worry about anybody else stepping mm-hmm. to us. They'll fall into line.
Yeah.
Whereas Lorgar was like, he was a missionary who was like, I'm going to preach to y'all the word. I'm going to tell you about Jesus.
The word of the big guy.
That's it. Y'all, you guys are going to love this. Just hear me out. And
they fucking built statues to the emperor on worlds that Lorgar conquered.
They do. They absolutely do. And it, like I said, effective, but just much, much slower.
Okay.
So the emperor is kind of like, he's upset. He's like, I'm trying to reconquer the whole goddamn galaxy. We've already done 2 million worlds, and we have millions more to go. Like, what are you doing, Lorgar?
We're on a fucking schedule.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You're so fucking behind schedule. I don't care about the results. You're so fucking behind schedule.
We have to ship this goddamn game.
Yeah, we have to ship this goddamn new civilization before the end, before the 40th millennium.
You got pre-orders on this fucking millennium?
Yeah, yeah.
But this millennium's not going to be out for 7 years. You don't know that.
So it takes him a long time to actually go to Lorgar. Oh my
god, Lorgar is Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. you're talking to two people who have never played it.
No.
Okay.
We're going to do an improvised episode about Kingdom Hearts one day. One day. I keep talking about it. It might happen.
So yeah, the Emperor goes... the Emperor is like upset at Lorgar with how long progress is taking and how they're so behind schedule. But... he doesn't say, he kind of like, you know, he kind of like is like the cool manager who's like, hey dude, I've noticed your numbers slipping, could you pick it up a little? But that's like all he does.
Yeah. For heretics gotta go
for a long time. And then finally HR is like, yeah, the higher ups spoke to us and you need to speak to Lorgar about his performance because he's gotten too many performance flags in the last quarter. So the Emperor goes to Lorgar's home planet.
Are they also space marines? With like,
yeah, that's it.
A little tie.
Yeah, it's space marines with like a tie and like a little clipboard.
A little teeny tiny like briefcase.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a human sized clipboard and a space marine sized hand. Yeah. Just like a tiny pen.
That's
it's
it.
Like, oh.
Yeah, we're going to have to write you up, Lorgar.
While the Emperor started making photocopies of himself.
Yeah, they're very adeptus at writing on that clipboard.
Boo. Boo.
I had to, man. Bad pun.
Boo. Podcast over.
So the Emperor goes to Lorgar's home planet and insisted that his followers believe the Imperial truth, which Murphy mentioned earlier. Science, reason, and logic alone are what better humanity. Not worshipping me. Not worshipping big, tall, beautiful, Squidward-faced me. It's science, reason, and logic alone.
Don't call me daddy.
Exactly. I mean, don't.
So yeah, Lorgar was the head of the Word Bearers, like Murphy had said, which is like a pretty religious title for your legion, right? The Word Bearers.
Yeah.
We bear the word. So the Emperor orders one of his other Primarchs, which was the really hard one to say. You want to take another stab at it?
Robert Gilliman.
Where is that written down? Let me see that.
It's not.
R-O-B-O-U-T-E. G-U-I-L-I-M-A-N.
Yeah. Robotman Gilliman.
Rabut Gilliman.
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch. is ordered.
I thought it was Benedict Come in My Snatch or Benedict Come in My Pants.
Yeah.
Rubber Baby Pumpkin Patch. That's what I like to call
yeah.
it.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. I just call him Khan.
I haven't seen that movie.
He played Khan in Star Trek.
I know. I haven't seen it.
Which is like Warhammer when you think about it. Both in space.
Hey. Pretty close.
Boo.
So the Emperor orders his Primarch Benedict Cumberbatch to raise the
Lorgar's canon.
The capital city of Lorgar's, basically like it's not like his home world, it's like the world that he calls home now. It was a city which was considered perfect by him and his followers because of the intense devotion to the Emperor found there. So he literally went and sacked, like, the Vatican, basically, and said, like, I'm going to raise it. And he sent 100,000 Ultramarines, which are, like, a super class of submarine, or okay. Astartes, and basically sent them and said, like, yeah, just fuck their shit up, dude. Fuck them up. Make them stop fucking worshipping me. It's creeping me the fuck out. I keep getting fucking fan mail. I'm getting fucking letters. I'm sick of it. Go fuck their shit up, dude.
I can't tell the fucking fan mail from the letter bombs. Yeah. What'd you say? Yeah. Sorry?
They want pieces of my hair.
Yeah. I keep sending them out, but it won't grow back.
Yeah. So it was after...
Don't you talk about my emperor that way.
Yeah. Hashtag not my emperor. So it was after this, after the sacking of, I can't believe I didn't write the name of the city down, but I didn't. It was after this that two of Lorgar's officers, who were secretly worshippers of the ruinous powers, contacted him and converted him, one of whom was Erebus. So Erebus, who he will send to kill Horus, actually converted Lorgar in the first place too. So Lorgar was, after the Emperor said, cut that shit out, tell your friends to cut that shit out, I don't want any more of it. Lorgar was like depressed and he like wouldn't talk to anybody except for one of his officers, one of whom convinced him to talk to the other officer, Erebus. And the two of them convinced Lorgar to, they were like, hey, we know your god literally showed up and gave you a spanking and burned down your favorite city and killed a bunch of your best friends. But we want you to snap out of it. So we have these cool new gods called the Ruinous Powers.
It's just a name. We're working on it.
It's just a name. It's just bad branding, honestly.
It's a new religion.
Yeah,
it was the quickest copyright we could get.
Yeah, we just punched
so that we could incorporate.
Yeah, we just punched new god names into Google, and that's what came up. So
religious power.
Yeah, we just trademarked it real quick, but it doesn't mean anything.
Religion name
we
generator.
We got the domain. we got the domain already.
Yeah, that's it.
So we're gonna have to go with it.
Yeah, it was the cheapest domain that we could get from our $38 Kickstarter.
Yeah. So they convert Horus, who had been preparing his rebellion against the Emperor. He convinced himself that functionaries and administrators had supplanted the Primarchs and the Astartes within the Imperium they had won through bloodshed and battle. Once the Imperium had been wholly geared for the war and conquest that was its life's blood since its inception, but now Horus believed that it had become burdened with parasitic executors, scribes, and scriveners who demanded to know the cost of everything. So Horus is fed up with the bureaucracy.
He doesn't like the paperwork.
He's like, this whole time, when his good friend Lorgar has been out doing, missionary work. He went on sabbatical in Africa. And now Lorgar comes back. He's like, I'm worshiping these cool new gods, dude. And Horus is like, man, I've been stuck in my fucking desk job for like so goddamn. I'm so sick of Kathy from HR coming and telling me who I gotta fire when. And Lorgar's like, yo, me too, dude. I've been there.
I love how he just hates the paperwork bit of it. Where it's just like, hey, man, would you be able to write down the names of the people you killed? And he's just like, no, God damn it.
How am I supposed to remember 100,000 people that I killed yesterday?
You know, you did this with Mario too, Ethan. Like, I'm never going to look at Erebus the same way again. I'm going to look at him as this, like, toked up dude that's just going, yeah, man, let's do this thing.
Yeah, like, I just got back from sabbatical,
dude. Where's my fucking car?
You wouldn't believe what I saw over there.
Yeah.
I bought a didgeridoo for 13 Zimbabwean dollars.
I feel like I literally traveled to another dimension, man.
Totally Beatles post-White Album. Like, Jesus Christ.
I met this girl. Her name's Yoko Slanesh.
Oh, no.
I think that's the title of the episode. Her name was Yoko Slanesh.
There you go. We got it. I'm done.
We did it.
I'm going fucking home. I'm tired.
So Horus convinces half of the other Primarchs, about half, and Space Marine Legions.
Half-ish.
As well as large swaths of the Imperial Army and the forces of the Ancient Mechanicum to turn traitor alongside him and attempt to overthrow control of the galaxy in his name, not the Emperor. Because remember, he was super ambitious and he was like, dad's over the hill. All dad does is spend all day in his fucking workshop in the basement.
Yeah.
I could run this galaxy better than him.
Making model jets and clones of himself out of balsa wood.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Obviously, he didn't realize that the current universe, like where it was at this point after the conquest of Ulanor, was what the Emperor had envisioned. He never intended the super soldiers to lead his people.
Oh, yeah.
He only intended them to protect him.
Dang.
Which I think is fair. I think it's fair, right?
You don't have, like, a super soldier contingency? We're just like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
It's just one more line on the contract.
You remember when we put all these robot parts and weird genes into 15-foot-tall people? You think we should add a kill switch? Nah, I think we're good, dude.
There's not a whole lot of room.
Okay.
like the fucking clones and just go, execute order 60.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I mean, that wasn't a bad call.
But if
it wasn't,
could you imagine if the Jedi were 15 feet tall?
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, the Sith never would have stopped them.
Those movies would be slightly better.
The Republic never would have stopped them, though, dude.
Just like resting on their knuckles, like a bunch
of
gorillas.
I so want a fucking, like, either CGI or live action version of the Horus Heresy, because it's such a good, like, violent, vicious story.
Yeah, well done, because there's been one Warhammer 40K movie, and it's been very not good.
Yeah, I want it well done. I want, like, fucking Christopher Nolan to take the script and be like, yes.
And do the 51 book series. Yeah.
It's perfect for the way that I write. Yeah. No answers for anyone.
Yeah. We're on a moon around the world of Davin, where Horus eventually gets corrupted. So Horus is on the moon, which he's been to before, and during the Great Crusade, he installed, like, a de facto leader there who ends up dying and gets corrupted by the Chaos, because there's Chaos Undead, who are, like, Chaos Space Marines, but just undead regular people. They're the Flood from Halo. or they're like zombie people, basically.
Okay, a couple of Zambos.
Yeah, so this the Flood shows up on this moon after it's been reclaimed in the name of the Imperium and kills everybody. So Horus is like, well, Luna Wolves, we gotta go back there. So they go back, and Erebus shows up on a mission from Lorgar at the same time and gives the old mayor of the town, or a mayor of the moon, who...
Moon mayors?
Moon mayor.
Now I'm interested.
The moon mayor who had been installed by Horus the first time he took over the town, he said, "You there! You're the leader of this moon now!" And then he, like, blasts off, and he just leaves the fucking planet.
He basically did what Tesla did with, like, fucking Tesla when he went and got SpaceX now. I guess I don't have to worry about my company that makes money for SpaceX.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye-bye!
He
made a badge out of like craft paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, glued it to a guy's shirt. He's like, "It's yours now, son."
He literally
and
shows
then just
up.
Like blasted off into space.
Yeah. There was literally like this okay socialist world going on there, and like everyone was doing okay. There was like one guy who led them, and he just shows up in the name of the Imperium. One punch in his fucking power armor, a 15-foot tall guy, explodes him into a mist, and then is like, "You there. You're the mayor now, Imperium, away!" And just fucking blasts off. And everyone's like, okay.
I'll work on
blast
that.
Blast off at the speed of light.
That, yeah. that might just be our artwork as a man in
Imperium
a power armor.
Away.
Just punching a guy into mist.
Or just, he's just blasting off, Imperium and then there's just away. Like a pair of legs.
Covered,
like,
everybody's covered in blood.
Yeah, a pair of legs and then just blood all over everybody.
Yeah.
That might be the meme. Yeah. For the listeners who look at our pictures and think they make no sense, that might be where you got it.
Yeah. So yeah, he did that, and then he comes
just like hips with like spine.
That's it. And then he comes back 150 later. He's like, "What happened here? Everybody is weird goo monsters now."
Yeah. I came here. I punched the president into dust and assigned a new president. This should have gone fine.
But alas.
Alas, punching is not a valid way of electing a new leader.
Yeah, exactly. It's no system of government. If I became king every time some lofty tart lobbed a scimitar at my head and then I exploded.
Yeah.
So
it was like handing a sheriff star to a new guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, like
or just like,
covered in goo.
Just like one guy like bends down and picks it up out of the carnage, like at the little badge that said you're today's leader. It was a socialist society, so they just rotated leader. And he's like,
"King now,
it's me now." Yeah.
You just have the guy going, "The basis of throwing a sword at someone is no basis for a system of government."
Yeah. A chainsword, yeah, throwing a chainsword at someone.
Aquatic lady throwing chainswords at people is no basis for government.
Yeah, so he comes back to this moon. Where he punched the sheriff.
I punched sheriff.
I did not punch the deputy. Instead, I elected him to the position of power. He shows up back on this moon and is completely overrun by chaos. And Erebus shows up to be like, "Hey, Lorgar sent me. I'm here to help you, dude. Let's sort this chaos problem out, right?" And he gives the
he's gone surfer, dude.
Yeah, he gives the punched mayor. Or the new, the, not the punch mayor, sorry.
The post punch mayor.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
He gives him a chaos touched blade, which is like a
called
just...
the anathema.
The anathema?
That's... Yeah, it's where the God Emperor got his name from by the Chaos Marines.
Oh, cool.
It was the anathema, and it was found on a world, the last world that Horus went to, and it was his biggest failure where he couldn't actually like. Make them compliant. They only were like, "Okay, we're willing to work with you." And then guess who comes in? "Oh, I'm gonna go steal this anathema because it's perfect for chaos plans."
Yeah.
And then he goes off like a James Bond villain, steals the anathema, and then Horus is like, "Why are the talks breaking down? We didn't steal a weapon. What's going on?"
Okay, that's really cool, and I didn't know that.
Sorry,
I thought
totally.
No, I thought
that's why we have him here. He's our
exactly.
He's like a
he's
live
resident
editor.
Expert. Yeah, I literally thought the Chaos Gods just gave it to him, but that's really cool. And I didn't know that that's where the God Emperor got his name. You said anathema. I was like, "You mean the God Emperor? What?" He's just like swinging a naked emperor at him. Like, take that!
Grab him by the ankles. This is the strongest joint.
A 25-foot sword, like just swinging a naked man.
Yeah, he's just going full on Achilles with this, like fucking grabbing him by the Achilles heel, just going whoosh whoosh. I'm the god here now. Yeah. Like,
are the chaos gods big? Or he's like wielding the emperor as a sword, cutting a bunch of
they're
bunch of marines
like,
in half.
they're fucking the size of galaxies sometimes, yeah. Man. Like,
dang. All right.
They exist outside of space, so.
Yeah.
What is big? In the warp.
Their height. Yeah.
Y'all are big in the warp, dude.
It's up to those aliens playing the jacks at the end of MIB, the first one, when they're dropping marbles.
Right. Like, yeah. All right. So their height is up to interpretation.
Yeah.
Depends on who you ask.
I only play local shows. I only DJ local shows in Jacksonville, but I'm big in the warp, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, light years tall.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't even worry about it, dude. I'm short here, but it's because I got to.
Yeah, I'm basically the Skrillex of the warp.
Yeah. I don't play acoustic.
Is Skrillex still big? I don't listen to music.
I mean, you basically just described the city of Los Angeles, half the people in it.
Yeah.
I'm big here, bro.
Yeah. You guys are the Skrillex of the warp?
Yeah, that's what Los Angeles is. Didn't you fucking know?
No.
Nope. It's on the brochures when you come in LAX.
Skrillex of the Warp.
Skrillex.
It's such a folded 8x10 piece of printer paper with like Times New Roman. You're just like, man, I really wish they had more of that.
So Erebus gives the anathema to the post-punch mayor. The post-punch mayor, who is now like a goo monster with tentacles, hits Horus with it, and
the new guy's a goo monster.
Well,
he became a goo monster because Horus landed, punched the mayor,
right?
Left for 150 years.
Okay,
came back. Chaos had infected the planet.
Okay, sorry. I'm trying to work out what I need to draw tomorrow afternoon. Is like
so. Basically, what had happened was Horus left, and then when Horus was hit. When he was, like, escaping from that planet that he was doing the negotiations from because Erebus had stolen this weapon, and Erebus goes to his Mournival, which are his, like, most trusted advisors, who he'd been whispering in their ears, too, because of the... Very complicated. But basically, he had gone and he had went, you know, there's this planet named Davin where you could go and get the Emperor Sage, right? Or not the Emperor, Horus. So they're like, oh, we must save our daddy, and they go and take him to this planet, and
they go to Daddy Quest.
And then the citizens of Davin are like, yeah, lock him in this room, and you can't go in. It'll be okay. He's not gonna get like murdered by a tentacle, scary monster, mud baby thingy, Babby. Sorry,
we call him Babbies here. Thank you.
God, but yeah. So that's what happens, and he gets locked in there, and then Ethan, take it away.
So he gets all sliced up, he gets a big cut in his shoulder, he starts having visions, the War Master, Lupercal.
And Magnus is in this too, during his visions.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't touch on it.
You wanna
take it away.
Give us a footnote on that then?
So Magnus basically is the most psychically powerful of the Primarchs, and he absolutely is by far one of the most loyal people to the Emperor.
Yeah.
And he has these powers to see the future through the warp, and he sees Horus falling, and Eldar go to Magnus saying, you have to stop this. So he reaches out during this time when he's having these fever dreams in the warp, and he goes, I'm your brother, I'm here. But then there's Erebus standing right next to him in the visions going, he's not your brother, he's a chaos god lying to you. So basically Erebus delivers Horus into the hands of the chaos god, saying, here you go, he trusts you now. Yeah. And now you can corrupt him.
So the War Master, already jealous and resentful of the Emperor, was all too willing to leave their visions over
instead of his own brother.
I don't want to say flesh and blood, but when we're talking about clones, actually, I don't really know.
Magnus was the closest in genetic like things to Horus because they were born at the same time, and
oh cool,
they had always shared a love of each other.
Are they cloned out of like tubes, or do they get implanted into like people?
No, these are the only ones out of like the Astartes that were actually cloned. The regular Astartes were made by putting a gene seed, a piece of their Primarchs, into them. And like then they mutate and like go through all these transformations. You know, when we were in like eighth grade, we're like, oh, yeah, all these funny changes are happening. I have testicles now. Like that's what happened to them, except extremely painful, and they grew 15 feet
and
tall.
Yeah.
Oh, here's your puberty spike. We're just gonna jam this into you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my puberty shot today.
Yeah.
I'll be out of school for the next 150,000 years.
And then I'm going to be immortal and lead a crusade across the galaxy, yeah, killing a bunch of people.
But I gotta shave my pubes. God, ain't life a bitch.
So, Horus renounces his oath to the Emperor and led his Astartes, renamed them the Sons of Horus, into following the Chaos Gods. Over 9 Terran years, the war lasted across the Milky Way galaxy. So, the Great Crusade lasted 200 years.
Okay.
Yep. Which, in the context of the 30th millennium, it doesn't seem like that much, right?
No.
The Horus Heresy lasts 9 years.
That's a little blip.
Like, yeah, so...
like nothing. Much happens.
The crazy part about the Horus Heresy, and especially right after this, is it leads to Istvan V. And Istvan V was where the Horus Heresy truly began.
Yeah.
Because Horus had been reborn and he was healed after Davin, and then he starts being corrupted.
Yeah.
And at Istvan V, he sends all of the people he knows, even in, from his own legion, his own sons, to this moon to battle this unknown enemy, saying, oh, I need you to follow this. All the people that were loyal to Horus, such as Lorgar and Horus and Mortarion, they're all up in their ships. And people start to suspect, and then on Istvan V, Horus launches what are known as fucking virus bombs. They basically turn the atmosphere into just molten fire and virus, and everything is killed by it. And he kills all of these loyalists. And there's one ship that escapes, a loyalist ship that's known as the Eisenstein, and it escapes all of this. And it goes to warn the fucking emperor, saying, your most beloved son has betrayed you. Prepare. And that's when the Horus Heresy began. Yeah. That's what it's also right when Horus came back to life was when the emperor submitted, like basically cemented himself as the god emperor, because the Lectitio Divinitatis, the people that were following it, were like, oh my god, even the emperor can heal his sons from thousands of light years away. All hail the emperor.
Yeah.
And that's what had like caused all of this, and it spread throughout the Imperium.
It's so crazy. So that ties back to Lorgar saying like, hey, we should worship the emperor. It was such like a simple transition for him to be like, oh yeah, like look, the providence is there. Like he healed them from across the galaxy. And now Horus, the son that he healed, is worshiping these ruinous powers. We should worship them as well, right?
Yep.
So it's like a really
basically the Sauruman, Lorgar's Sauruman.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So the Horus Heresy, which we're not gonna get into on this Horus Heresy episode of the Lore Boys, results in 2.3 trillion dead, or 4.6 trillion if you count after the actual heresy had ended. The purge,
assault on Terra.
Yeah. After all that, when the God Emperor tries to purge all the remnants of chaos in the universe, so 4.6 trillion. For an example of what a trillion is, if $1 trillion in $100 bills would reach 631 million, 631 miles high. So if you had a sheet of paper and you stacked it a trillion times, it would reach over twice as high as the ISS.
See, in the US, we just make up numbers as to what amounts of money we have, and everyone believes it.
Not in Cairo, baby.
No, not here. We use the not metric system and kilometers.
And that's pretty much going to be our Horus Heresy episode. Yeah.
Was it good enough for you, I suppose?
Me?
You know what you're talking about?
Anybody got a cigarette?
I feel satisfied. Like I definitely need a fucking cigarette, man. God, and I need like 3 changes of pants.
So we have a special feature on today's episode, Murphy. We have a promo from your Strangerlands podcast. Do you want to walk us through it? Give us a short intro before we listen to it.
So guys, this is what basically happens in our podcast. This is a trailer for the kind of actual play D&D podcast that we're in, and it gives you a bit of the lore. So enjoy and have a listen.
It's been 1,000 years since the Celestial War, and the great races were rendered extinct. 1,000 years since the establishment of the Decladine Empire, and peace came over Pylos. But an ancient secret that promises of untold power has broken the alliance and threatens to destroy the realm. Join our heroes, Tash.
Grab Daryl. Get out. I will follow you. Go.
Silverpaw.
You'll pay for this, Sylvia.
Craig.
Someone is looking for you. The name Tash means anything to you.
And Bagger.
Let's get dangerous.
As they uncover dangerous secrets, ancient cities, and race against time and the Empire itself to save Pylos. Download The Stranger Lands now, before it's too late.
How great was that?
I am very glad to have, in real time, been associated with that.
Boy, sure am glad we listened to that while recording this episode.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
Chortle, me hearties, chortle, yo-ho.
Genuine laugh and stomach slap.
Yeah. Yes. No, definitely check out the Stranger Lands podcast. I've met all the members. They're all beautiful, lovely people, and it's a great podcast, especially if you like D&D, and we've done a couple episodes. If you like nerdy-ass lore shit, you'll like a good D&D podcast, I can almost promise you. Murphy, if you're looking for the Stranger Lands podcast, or maybe you personally, if you want to share that, where can we find you?
On the internet.
You can find me at Booze on First D&D on Twitter, and you can find Stranger Lands at either thestrangerlands.com or go to Stranger Lands on Twitter. And if you want to talk to us, we have a Discord, so hit us up on there.
Hell yeah. And Peter, if we're looking for you on the internet, where might we find you?
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. I do all the artwork for the Lore Boys podcast, so loreboys.com. O'Manahue on DeviantArt, and then Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. Ethan, Big Daddy Ethan.
Big Daddy here, also very fast.
I'm
at Ethan the Dead Man, if you're looking for me online. Thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure, if you like the episode, to leave us a review. If you didn't like the episode, never touch our review page. What are you doing?
Don't fuck it up.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
Leave us a review if you liked us. Tell your friends, tweet about us. We love you all. For anyone looking to support the show financially, we do have a program called Lore Boys Premium, which we offer. It's a monthly subscription. This month, we're not asking for money. We're just asking for genetic samples. Please send in your genetic samples. Peter, I, Jamie, and maybe Murphy, if he's into it, are going to be just kind of mixing up those genetic samples, making like a real genetic cocktail. And we're going to be making
sounds hot.
And we're going to be making clones pretty soon. And everybody who sends in a sample will get a clone in the mail.
Also, the first person whose genetic sample yields a clone that can actually stand up and speak one English word gets $1,000.
I like this.
$1,000 Canadian.
$1,000 Canadian, which is whatever, like 200 American pesos.
And that constitutes a
Lore Boys
out.
Also, Stranger Lands. Thank
also
you for
Stranger
being
Lands
here.
Out. Bye. Hey there! Oh wait, sorry, we're recording.
That's true. We do love. No. All right, a moment of silence.
We do
for
love
the intro.
A good false start here.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.